Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Bert Weisbord, and I'm here to talk with Diana Gould about her novel, Cold Water, and my novel, Inside Passage. More generally, we'll be talking about writing novels, writing for the screen, and writing for television. I've produced feature films, including Ghost Stories, starring Fred Astaire, and Raggedy Man, starring Sissy Spacek. As a movie producer, I worked with writers developing screenplays. My first novel, Inside Passage, was published in January of this year. Diana has written pilots, movies, episodes, and miniseries for network and cable. Among her many credits, she was writer-producer of Dynasty, executive story consultant on Knot's Landing, and she created and produced Behringer's. Her first novel, Cold Water, is a fast-paced femme noir Hollywood crime novel with a female protagonist. It's slated for publication in April of this year. Hello, Diana.
Hi, Bert.
Hey, I'd like to begin by saying how much I enjoyed your book and asking you how you decided on your protagonist, Brett. I thought that she was such an interesting character.
Well, first of all, thank you. And I don't remember deciding on a protagonist. I think she evolved. She writes for television, which I did, so it was a natural milieu for me to write in. And I wanted to write about someone who was at a low point in her life. I was interested in the personal journey that the character goes through. So I was more aware of who she was emotionally than I was who she was professionally. But after I finished the book, I realized that I was writing about somebody leaving television, which is what I was doing, but I didn't set out to do that. It just happened.
Well, it sounds like your process is something like mine, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but when I sort of think about writing a book, I sort of just want to have a character I'm interested in, and like a rich stew, and I don't necessarily know where it's going yet. Did your book evolve in that way?
This book took me a long time to write, honestly, because it took me a long time to figure out what I was writing about. I think now that I'm writing my next book, I have a clearer idea of where I'm going. But it's kind of fighting my way out of a paper bag the first time. Tell me about your process.
Well, when we moved to the Northwest, I became interested in this woman character who was not like this person I knew, but the person I knew really introduced me to a lot of the women who go and fish in Alaska on the purse seiners.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gone for 4 months at a time, and it's, dangerous and freezing cold water up there. And and that sort of connected to my interest in that beautiful country, not necessarily Alaska, but British Columbia and the whole Inside Passage area. And and I wanted to put this very tough, capable woman in a situation where she was being, she was framed and she was being mistreated by, dangerous people. And I was also interested. I mean, my book is a lot about things not being what they seem to be. And people not being what they seem to be, relationships not being what they seem to be, and unlikely relationships. And I had her meet a psychiatrist who was as different from her as night and day, but had the same sort of ability to sort of navigate his inner life as she could the waterways of the Inside Passage. And they're a very unlikely couple, and I like them so much that I'm still writing about them.
I was going to ask you, because I noticed in the book that I read that it said it was the first of a trilogy, and I wondered how you had how you knew it was a trilogy and how much of the whole arc of the whole three books you had in mind when you wrote the first one.
Well, I certainly didn't have the third, but I had an idea for the second, which is now a draft is finished. And I just knew that I wanted to spend more time with these people. And when the second book opens, they're married. And and she is looking for runaways in Seattle. I mean, she's like a private detective, but she finds runaways, and Seattle is a destination for, you know, abused kids in the Northwest. And and once found, the kids become the clients. And it's interesting setting. And, you know, so anyway, that was where it went. And then the third is more his book. Not that she isn't in it, but it involves his relationship with a patient who, in her inner life, has created a world of Greek mythology that holds the key to a murder. And the people who are being murdered are people in Corey's world who are runaways. And that's called Minos, the third one. And that's in the works.
Well, it really sounds, you know, I spent a lot of years of my career writing continuing drama on episodic television, shows like Dynasty and Knots Landing that told a story over a season with, you know, before those shows, each episode was kind of standalone. And this introduced that concept of, you know, ongoing storylines. And it sounds like that's what you're doing with your novels.
Yeah, I often, you know, think that, although, you know, my background is in feature film, that this is more like an HBO kind of, if I were to bring
it,
you know, and that it would be more in the format of The Wire, if you will, you know, a long-running show. I'd like to come back, though, to your book and
ask you,
in fact, this would be a thing that would be fun for us to talk about together. I mean, for both of us, location is very important. I mean, I just found myself very caught up in this combination of Hollywood and the Santa Monica Mountains and the Malibu Hills and, you know, and it's not dissimilar from the sort of streets of Seattle and the Inside Passage. I mean, it's analogous in some ways. And how important was that to you when you were thinking about what you were writing? The sense of place.
The sense of place is very important, and I really responded to it in your book. And in my book, you know, after writing screenplays my whole life, where you don't have to describe anything. It's not your job to describe anything. There's other people's job to figure out what the people are wearing. I don't know what that was. What the people are wearing and what, you know, whether it's fog. You say, you know, exterior, house, day, and the rest is up to other people. So it was quite challenging, but quite, I liked it. And, you know, I live by the ocean. There's a lot of ocean in the book, and sounds pretentious, I suppose, but I always liked reading Thomas Hardy as a kid, and you know, the weather and the sense of place impacted what the mood was. So, for example, you know, I have a scene that has a funeral. And at first I was thinking it's going to rain, and then I thought, no, in Los Angeles, you know, it's, you know, how horrible to have this bright sun at a funeral. So, I used a lot of what I know from where I live. You know, when I first started writing movies, I wrote about New York because I was from New York. Now I write about Los Angeles.
Well, it was very evocative, and it brought back a lot of Los Angeles memories for me. But specifically, I don't know if you're a fan of his work, but it reminded me a little bit of Ross McDonald.
Thank you.
And, you know, he was... he worked on his only screenplay with me, and he was sort of a mentor to me, and so I really knew his work, and I thought this combination of strong characters and relationship to place and, you know, things that happen in the past that sort of come back to play out in the present in different forms was very evocative to me of Ross McDonald. So that...
Well, that's
indeed.
Quite a compliment, because I think Sue Grafton said that, you know, we're all rewriting Ross McDonald. I mean, he's kind of set the mold that we're all following. But I would also say the same to you, Bert, that the sense of place, I've been in Seattle a couple of times, but it was so evocative, particularly the food. I thought, well, boy, this guy really likes to eat.
Yeah, he
does.
There's
a lot of very delicious descriptions of food, which I really enjoyed.
Well, the last time I was in Seattle for a book event, there was a lot of stopping at restaurants and dropping off the book and a lot of very pleased restaurateurs.
But you have such a very... rich milieu to have a sense of place. I mean, they're always on boats and going through, Inside Passage. And it's an unusual location, and I thought you did very well.
Thank you. Let's talk about point of view first. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well... I wanted to go back to the first question you asked me, because when I talked about the character's inner journey, I mean, I wanted to write about a character who hated herself, who made the journey from hating herself to self-acceptance or self-forgiveness. And anyway, more than anything, that was the germ of the book for me.
Well, and I think you accomplished that.
Thank you.
Are you going to write multiple books with the same protagonist?
Well, you know, I've started three books since I finished this one. I haven't finished any of them, and now I'm working on a book that the temporary title is "This is the one I'm going to finish." That's what the folder is called. And I tried writing about this character, and then I tried writing about another character, and I think the reason I was having hard time getting traction was that I hadn't really finished this first one yet. And after I did the last draft, which is the most recent draft, the pre-publication draft of this book, that kind of released me to go to the next one. I don't think I was really free of this one yet. And so now I'm enjoying Brett and bringing her out, that I am going to write the next book is about her. At first, I didn't think she was a good continuing character, because, without giving too much of the book away, you know, it's a very complete story in and of itself. And I didn't know if she was too tarnished to be a continuing character. But,
As a first-time reader, I am very interested in where she goes, without giving anything away, from where she ends up in this book. And I think that she's got a lot. Well, I would be interested in learning more about her and reading more about her.
Well, thank you. You know, I am I teach meditation, and to me, it's a thriller and it's a murder mystery, but there's a kind of a spiritual component to this book, and there will be in the second book, too. I think Brett is kind of a pilgrim who is going through the same kinds of spiritual journeys that all human beings go through. You know, we're faced with really, really powerful and painful challenges which involve suffering, and we kind of, you know, bat our way towards some kind of fitting into a larger, a world that's larger than ourselves. And that's kind of the arc of the first book, and I think in you know, variations of that in other books.
Well, you know, I think that's something that's true in both of our books, that there's a they're character-driven in a way that a lot of mysteries and thrillers are not.
And, yes.
That's something that is very interesting to me. And I would like to talk for a second just about point of view, because we
yes.
approach that differently. And
yes.
I mean, to oversimplify and go back to Ross McDonald, I mean, yours is more of a classic detective story.
Right.
And mine is more, and again, this is oversimplifying, but more of a thriller in a little different tradition. But I'm interested in your perceptions about the difference in, you know, I write from multiple points of view, and what you did.
Yes, well, I'm very interested in that, to hear what you have to say, because when I was reading your book, I thought, oh, you know, you can, I always have to show the villain from the protagonist's point of view. You can show the villain from the villain's point of view. And you have a very rich villain with, you know, very, certainly very bad person, but a very interesting person. And you can sort of get under his skin and see what he's experiencing. You can't do that when you're writing from a first person point of view, and you can't see anything that the protagonist doesn't see, and you can't know anything that the protagonist doesn't know. So this is kind of limiting. On the other hand, you can really get into the character's head, not that you don't, but it is a difference.
Yeah, and I think there's pros and... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just I think... Well, I know the difference from the writer's point of view. I'm not sure what the difference is from the reader's point of view.
Well, you know, there's pros and cons of both, but I think you really touched on why I made this decision. I mean, as I said before, this is a book really about people who aren't what they seem to be, and I felt like I needed to get in their heads in order to let people fully understand that. I mean, Nick Season, who is a demonic character, seems to be this charming guy who's going to be the next state attorney general.
Right.
And he's in a relationship with the protagonist, Abe Stein, the psychiatrist's mother, who is this very successful mover and shaker in, you know, National Democratic Party politics, and they seem to be the perfect couple. And
right. Well, he's demonic, but he also is, you know, he becomes demonic in response to an urging from his inner self, going back to childhood memories and you're kind of with him viscerally, as you know, he sweats and his heart pounds and he gets these physical manifestations.
He has these anxiety attacks.
Yeah, and I thought that was terrific, and I thought, well, I wish I could have done that.
That's really hard to do if you're writing from someone else's point of view.
Yeah, you have to. You're limited to what they can perceive, you know, through their six senses.
On the other hand, you do something in the book that I couldn't do, which is you keep surprising the reader because your protagonist is not understanding everything.
Right.
And she may, you know, misperceive something about Mike.
Right.
And you go with her perceptions because they're all you have.
Right.
And that's a great strength of your book, because there are many twists and turns that come not from knowing that somebody isn't what they seem to be, but from discovering along with the protagonist that the reality is different than what she thought it was.
Right. Well, and a lot of that comes from my experience writing Dynasty and Knot's Landing and shows where you constantly had to turn the story and, you know, end on a cliffhanger and a hook and keep people coming back after the commercials and keep people coming back for next week's episode. So a lot of my plotting owes its that's its heritage.
Well, let's talk for a second about the difference between writing for movies and television and writing a novel. I mean, because I think that we've both had experience with at least two of those three things. At least I've had experience.
Yes.
I find it very different. I found that the experience of writing a novel was just exhilarating, a little overwhelming at times, but none of the limitations I felt working on screenplays.
Right. Yes. I felt when I was writing this novel, as difficult as it was, and it was really, really hard. It was much harder than I bargained for. But it was exhilarating, and it kind of put me back in touch with, you know, when I was a kid and I wanted to be a writer, when I was a kid and I loved to read and I loved to write, before I got so beat up. Because, you know, being a writer for Hollywood in movies or television is like being a pencil, you know, and they use you up and they toss you aside. And, you know, you come running in with this, you know, thing that you feel so good about having created. And then, you know, and then it's, you know, at best, it's changed considerably, and at worst, you know, it's just tossed aside. Or, you know, I've had so many experiences where, you know, I was the first writer on a project and then there were other writers, or I was brought into a project and that somebody else had started, and you know, writers are always being rewritten and given notes. You know, anybody can give you a note, and television is so, you know, so geared towards not getting anybody upset. I mean, they actually would say that to me. You know, we don't want people to be angry. We don't want people. I think I mentioned this in the book. You know, we don't want people to be angry. We don't want to upset people. Well, drama, you know, you have to get people angry. So it was all, you know, all the individuality was eventually shaved off of it, and it was very demoralizing. I'm very grateful for it. I have to add how grateful I am to have had that career, but very demoralizing. And writing a novel, you know, I got to do it my way for the first time in my life. I mean, this is like the first time. I've been a writer my whole life. This is the first time anyone's going to really read what I've written. That's very exciting.
Yeah, and it really is, you know, strengths and weaknesses. It's what, at least in my case, it's what I wanted to write.
Yeah, me too.
And what I wanted to write about. And that's something that you just can't do as a writer in movies. I mean, not that you can't write a screenplay that is about something that you love, but it's a team process. I mean, you know, a director will have a point of view, an actor will have a point of view. When I first started to write screenplays, a producer friend of mine said to me, buy a hat. And I said, what do you mean? He said, so you can cover your face at the premiere. I mean, that's the sort of mentality, you know. But, you know, and it's not that I didn't have wonderful collaborative experiences working in the movies. And I'm sure you had good days, too, you know, when the show came out right and when, you know, things clicked. And it can be quite exhilarating. But it's, you don't own it in the same way, and it's not yours in the same way.
No.
And it's also a different way of thinking, because when I was working with writers, with a movie, and I'm sure it's the same thing for episodic television, you have a finite time. I mean, and there's units,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's production constraints, and there's, you know, there's a kind of grammar that is far more concise. And concise isn't the word I'm looking for. You can't just sort of take off on a tangent in somebody's inner life. You can't do that at all.
Right.
It's against the
right.
rules.
Right.
But in a novel, you know, you can just take a turn that's a hard right at the most unexpected moment just because
mm-hmm.
that's where the character's going.
Right.
And you do this in
right.
an interesting way. I mean, you interweave, you know, when she is preoccupied with the woman, was her name Rosa, who was in the...
Yeah.
And she will, like, be pursuing that at the same time she's trying to find Julia. And, you know, these are things that are going on in her inner life that are driving
mm-hmm.
where she's going
mm-hmm.
next. And
mm-hmm.
That's not easy to do in a screenplay, certainly.
Well, in television, yes, because, you know, again, I kind of cut my teeth on episodic television where you did have an A story and a B story and a C story and a runner. And so I, you know, I do have a lot of storylines. And I think that both, that you and I share books that have good stories because of our background in the entertainment industry. But one
yeah.
thing I like about writing books is that you can write, that words count and sentences count. And, you know, the way that you describe, it's not only telling a story. You can get much deeper than the story, the superficial.
Yes, I think I didn't express myself well, because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think there are multiple storylines, and, you know, that's perfectly... it's actually something you learn to do very well in writing movies and for television. But what
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about more is things being driven by inner sort of turns in mood that you really explore. That you can write
right.
your way into an unexpected place and make the kind of turn that isn't in certainly movie grammar.
Right.
And that's a luxury in a book. And,
right.
You know, and in my case, you know, you will be, you know, Corey has a secret in the same way your protagonist has a secret. And in her case, she has knowledge of something horrible that happened that she can't share
mm-hmm.
because she's afraid it might put her son at risk. And
mm-hmm.
you can see how this sort of shapes her decision-making in a way you can't write it in the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I think your character has some of that, too.
Right. 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 But I do like this business of writing. You know?
Yeah.
Writing words and writing sentences. I think it's Joan Didion. Somebody said, you know, about somebody who wanted to be a writer, and she said, well, did they like sentences? You know, you have to like sentences, and you have to like the shape of sentences and using words, or at least I do. And that's one thing I had to really learn, because you don't do it at all in writing screenplays. But I think, you know, again, going back to this impulse that I had as a kid, reading and responding so much to books as a reader, as a young person, and, you know, what books... I mean, that's the kind of book I wanted to write, really. I wanted to write the kind of book that when I was a kid and I was reading, it meant so much to me. I wanted to meet the author. I wanted to talk to... You know, they saved my life. I was so... You know, to be absorbed by a book when I was a kid was such a relief and such a pleasure. That's kind of what I got back in touch with writing this book.
Well, I really, I got your book when on Friday night, and I finished it last night, and... So I was sort of living in that world intensely for a couple days, and
mm-hmm.
No, I didn't get it Friday night. I got it Monday night, and It's you've done that. I mean, you really, you know, it was a world that I wanted to be in. And
thank you, Bert.
Words do matter, sentences matter, and they're all part of it. I mean, that's one of the things I loved about writing a book, is that I spent a lot of time just choosing individual words. I mean, you know, maybe an embarrassing amount of time. I mean, preoccupied with what is exactly the right word to capture a certain moment or a certain feeling. And and so the process, I mean, what I was going to say is one of the things that I discovered when I was producing movies is that, at least in my case, the longer you produce movies, you don't necessarily get better at it, since so much of it is crisis management that you sort of burn out on it. You know, there's only so many times you can go to a movie star's room at 3 in the morning and, you know, convince them that something is right. And writing is the opposite for me. The more I do it, the better I get at it. I mean, I feel like the opposite of being burnout, but that it's more exciting. And maybe that's when you begin writing novels at this point in your life, too. I mean, because you're really only, you're not managing other people's problems. You're dealing with your own issues and thinking about the things you choose to think about. And that's another aspect of this that I find so gratifying. So I think I should, you know, wrap this up and say how much I've enjoyed talking to you, reading your book, how I look forward to others. And, you know, people can go to my website, www.bertweisbord.com, and see the next books coming up in the Corey Logan trilogy. And I hope, Diana, that we can get together and do this again with our next books.
Wonderful, Bert. Thank you. I've enjoyed this very much, and I very much enjoyed reading your book. And I am dianagould.net, www.dianagould.net. So people can see what I'm doing, too. Anyway, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and I'm going to Seattle in August. And I'm really going to be thinking about you and Corey.
Oh, great. And I'll give you some restaurant suggestions.
All right. Good.
Thank you very much, Diane.
Thank you, Bert.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.